Welcome to another edition of Always Right with Rochelle, the Right Now Coach. Today I'm delighted to be talking with Herb Pierce, a Boston-based individual couples and family therapist with over 26 years of experience. Pierce is a leading expert in the Enneagram and the author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to the Power of the Enneagram. Welcome, Herb.
Hi.
I'm glad to have you here, especially because I've always been confused by the Enneagram, and so I'm hoping you can give me and our listeners a brief introduction.
Good.
What is it? How does it work?
Okay. It's a personality system that describes 9 types. I teach the Myers-Briggs, too. You know, that has 16
yes.
types. There are many systems like this. This is by far my favorite. And it's so accurate. People are constantly shocked by the level of accuracy. It almost seems like a psychic kind of thing that people could understand another personality so well. There are many subtypes within each type, so it's not in any way typecasting people. It explains the complexity. You know, you can be several types, but there's always one that's more dominant in terms of like ways that you think. It's more about your behavior, your motivation than it is your behavior, like why you do what you do. It's a certain lens through which you're perceiving reality that's extremely different than the other 8 lenses.
Maybe it would help our listeners to just get a sense of what a couple of the types are. So maybe
sure,
you want to talk about...
I can quickly tell you just real fast all of them.
Oh, great.
Type 1 is a perfectionist. It's somebody who has to do things perfectly and just right. It's kind of black and white, right and wrong. Tends to be moralistic. Types 2 is the helper. Now, we all do these things, but each type does them... The type of that type does it in spades. Like a 2, like... extremely overhelp somebody, and they want positive feedback and love in return.
Mm.
The 3 is the achiever. It's kind of like the United States. It's someone who's very strongly focused on goals, winning, speed, reward. You know, again, very much like do things the quickest way possible, and you want to get a payback. The 4 is the romantic, someone who's very emotional, intense, deep, soulful. Everything in life is kind of like a drama or a crisis, and there's a lot of self-absorption, very aesthetically oriented. The 5 is the observer, very intellectual, detached, not very emotional, not very talkative, except if it's about topics of intellectual knowledge. The 6 is a questioner. They tend to be a little concerned about safety and danger. It can be a little paranoid. They're always preparing and planning for worst-case scenarios. The 7 is the optimist, just the opposite. They're overly optimistic, and they don't like to look at problems and be analytical, which, like the 6, they just want to, like, they can be analytical, but it's more for fun, adventure, newness, change, like that. The 8 is the boss or the leader. This is someone who's very in charge, tends to be aggressive. They speak up. They go after what they want. They need to be in charge and dominate. But they have a hard time acknowledging their own sensitivity and vulnerability. The 9 is the peacemaker, someone who gets along with everybody, but they don't have much of a self-will. They tend to give in and peace at any cost. Extremely brief summary, but I mean that just gives you kind of a nugget of each type.
That's great. That's very helpful. One of the things you said in the introductory note to the reader that I thought was interesting was the Enneagram has the power to change your life. It is the most helpful tool I've discovered for relationship improvement and self-development. Can you talk about the ways in which it's a beneficial tool?
Right. Well, see, as a psychotherapist, I use it as my most exclusive tool. It helps you understand how you see the world differently than others. I specialize working with couples.
Okay.
So I can coach 2 people, even who've been together 20 years, and explain to each other like how they see the world and in a very different way, in a very clear and precise way that if they are really listening, they can see, oh, my gosh, no wonder we have these conflicts. We're looking at it from this way. For instance, I did a coaching session this morning by phone. For a type 3 woman who's achievement-oriented and likes to get things done, And with a 9 husband, the peacemaker, we tend to kind of be more lackadaisical and, you know, harmony seeking, and let's just kind of wait and hang out. And they just have constant conflicts because she's waiting for him to act, and he, as a 9, is waiting for her to be a little more chilled out and peaceful in her approach, and they just kind of deadlock all the time.
Wow. So if we go out and get your book, and I have it right here in front of me, mm-hmm. will we be able to figure out what we are?
Most likely. You know, my specialty is typing. I actually, you know, do typing by phone if anyone gets stuck, but most likely if you'll read it all, you'll see which one is more dominant. If you can't figure it out, I'll tell you, just give it to your best friend or lover or someone who knows you well. They'll tell you which type you are.
Well, that's what I thought. As you went through the types, and as I've been reading it this week, I take it to the gym with me and read it while I'm on the treadmill. I think, mm-hmm. well, I know who everybody else is.
Sure. It's easier to type other people, but often all of us are trying to change and to be something else, because your type is something that keeps you stuck, because we keep overusing this one perspective. So your type is where you've come from in your past and where you're still stuck. If you're trying to change into something new or different, that's not your type. But it indicates each type tends to be growing toward another type.
And
there's
so,
a certain formula for that.
So do you tend to be growing? Now, I think from what I understand, you have a central type and then you have wings.
Right.
Do you tend to grow towards your wings or towards the other types?
Toward another type. The wing is an adjacent number next to your number. For instance, I'm a 9 with an 8 wing. I'm a peacemaker, but I have a little bit of the boss.
Okay.
Director too. But my growth type is 3, the achiever. So each type has a growth type that is probably the type that's most integrating if you develop the higher traits of that type. Honestly, it's, if you develop the higher qualities of any type, it's useful. Matter of fact, one of my goals and when I work with students is to help them develop the best traits of all 9 types.
Wow.
We pick one at a time and work with it, because if you really understand and develop each of the 9 types in yourself, you'll be enlightened.
Sounds like a very good discipline.
It's a great discipline, and the information's very clear. And, you know, as I'm kind of hinting at, each type has many levels of maturity within each type. One of the major authors of the Enneagram, Riso, talks about 9 levels of development within each type.
Wow. So, you know, I'm a writer, and this is a show primarily for writers. So one of the things I'm wondering about is, did knowing your Enneagram type help you in terms of writing the book? Did it give you any sense of how to go about it, or?
Well, it did. I mean, you know, as a 9 myself, I mean, I tend to be kind of very fluid and not very, you know, definite and grounded. So I knew I had to be, like, really down to earth, very simple, very practical, et cetera, which I can do, actually. You know, I've been teaching this for 17 years, so I've developed, I'm a lot more down to earth than some 9s that are kind of a little bit spacey and fluid. You know, part of that is my 8 wing helps, which is a more direct number. And actually, my co-writer is a 9-8, just like me. And it was great working with someone who understands me so perfectly.
Well, that's interesting that you had a co-writer with a similar, with the same type.
The same type, wing, and subtype. There's 3 subtypes in each type too. So we were exactly.
Wow.
I mean, we think alike. It was like I was with a female version of myself.
So, well, you know, as long as we're talking about your co-writer, say a little bit about how the process worked of writing a book with someone and what it means to have, I mean, I see that you are not Herb Pierce and Karen Breeze, but Herb Pierce with. What does that mean?
I use the word with because I wrote the book. In other words, I wrote each chapter.
Okay.
I would send the chapter to her. She basically would edit it.
Okay.
That's basically how it worked. I mean, she would rework things and to some degree occasionally add ideas, but as the expert in the Enneagram, you know, I'm the one that generated the ideas.
So how do you initiate a process like that? Was that something you sought out?
Well, what happened was I lucked out. There was an agent in California who knew someone from the Idiot's Guide group, and she knew they were looking for an Enneagram writer to write an Idiot's book. So she just checked out a bunch of websites and intuitively sensed I was the right person. So she emailed me and just said, would you like to write a book? And I thought it might be a joke, but it turned out to be true. I did a proposal by email that day.
Wow.
In a few days, there was a tentative agreement. And then it took actually a while to have the contract be made where I had to write, the first chapter and table of contents. That took almost 2 months, but the rest of the book of 18 chapters only took 3 more months. The whole process happened in 5 months.
Wow.
It was a lot of work.
So how did you manage the writing such a detailed, difficult book in 5 months?
Well, I'm an expert. I mean, I've taught a couple thousand workshops in this.
Yeah.
So everything came from my experience. I have a database, too, so I can use that a little bit to remember stories and such. I've worked with hundreds of couples. I've worked with thousands of individuals. I teach for organizations and companies and public workshops. So I had this wealth of experience.
Yeah.
So I just wrote. I mean, it was easy to write. This is actually the first any serious writing I've ever done, and actually I was surprised how good I was at it.
Oh, that's great.
So I never had writer's block, not even once. I mean, I just, wrote. I sometimes would write, a whole chapter in 2 days.
So
usually it took me longer, but as time went on, each chapter got faster and faster.
So tell me what were the things that made this easy to write? Because I think that would help our listeners who are trying to or maybe struggling to write a book.
Right. Well, one is the familiarity with the topic. So there was no, I didn't have to research. So that was – and then it helped me a lot to kind of recall, what I already knew and put it in a structure.
Mm.
So I actually found it fun. And then co-writing was a lot of fun, too, because she would rework things, structured a little bit, too. That was fun. I mean, one of the things about writing an idiot's guide is it's designed to be short paragraphs with a lot of humor, easy to understand, not terribly deeply theoretical, not super complex sentences. That's all my teaching style. I teach workshops.
Wow.
So I pretty much, my writing was my teaching style, which is kind of anecdotal, fun, quick. Clarity, also being clear. I would rework things to make sure there wasn't any doubt that when a person read a sentence, they knew exactly what they were saying.
Wow.
And my co-writer, Karen, really helped with that, too.
So when you get signed up to write a complete idiot's guide, do they give you the chapter structures? Do you know kind of what it should be looking like?
I have, a rough idea. There's a 50-page, manual you read that tells you, what they're looking for. So, what I try to match that. I thought of all the chapters I would want. My particular style, for instance, I focus a lot on relationship dynamics. So I had quite a few chapters that related to that. They were actually quite free in giving me a lot of permission to do it my way.
Wow.
I had to break it, it was four parts of the book. And, there was a lot of freedom. At the same time, within each chapter, they had very specific kind of guidelines. And so when I wrote my first chapter, I had to rework the titles. I wanted to write unique subtitles within each chapter, but they wanted this very, for each of the 9 types, they wanted exactly the same structure, a piece on childhood, a piece on the description, a piece on the subtype. So to be honest, I balked at that, but, it ended up, I liked the fact that they wanted it more uniform, at least for those chapters. But for the other chapters, they were pretty open, and we kind of jazzed up some of the subtitles and stuff, and they were pretty flexible.
And are lifelines and definitions, those little boxes, a part of all of?
Yes, every idiot's guide has those 4 categories. Now, they might be called differently, but they're basically those categories where you either give definitions, you give an additional insight that's kind of interesting, or you say something cautionary, be careful of typing people quickly, for instance, and then what was it? There's another category which I think is examples.
Okay. People, famous people. Who...
Yeah. Well, that's one. That's not actually not every book has that, but
okay.
Mine did. You know, so it was fun to add those. It took me a while to kind of understand like what they meant for each one, how they were different one from another. But
warning, lifeline, insights.
Right.
Well, these are great. Tell me a little bit about the daily process. How did you manage with your regular clients and speaking schedule in the midst of writing a book?
Well, you know, I couldn't teach as much. You know, I mean, I still would set up workshops, but I didn't have as much time to market them, so I knew that. But I got, you know, I somewhat got paid a little bit to write it, so that kind of compensated a little bit. My style is very, I'm pretty in the moment. So there were days that I wrote like on and off all day. I'd write 2 or 3 hours and take a break. You know, there were nights I stayed up all night and wrote just because my energy was up for it. So it was more like how I was motivated. I think there was one time I wrote a whole chapter in one sitting, which is unheard of.
Wow.
As time went on, I wrote faster and faster and faster. So I would just kind of free... Once I got the structure, that was helpful. So I would just kind of free float. I'd write something, and then I would like work it again. Generally, I'd cut things out because I'd write too much, seeing if I could titrate it, you know, to get it really down more to essentials. But you know, I tried my best to not write it such that I would have to rewrite the whole thing again.
Okay.
So in other words, like I knew I was writing maybe like a page for this little subtext. So I wanted to get my basic ideas in there, and then I could rework the writing later if it didn't feel jazzy enough. But it was really great having a co-writer to, you know, she could edit. One of the things I think I learned was I tend to repeat things a lot, and I had to. That was probably my hardest challenge, to try to not over-repeat.
Yeah, and I wonder if that's a speaking technique.
It is a speaking technique.
That slips into the writing.
Yes, I think that was, I tend to repeat, rephrase, rework, et cetera. Now, in some ways, I think in the book you'll see that certain things are repeated, so like if something doesn't make sense, you'll see it later. I think there's some strength in that. So.
Yeah.
and that's part of my style, so. But I wanted to cut down on that a little bit.
So, kind of as you went through the process of writing and learned more about writing, did you come up with some tips that you would give to other writers?
Well, I would say, you know, be your real self. I mean, you need to, you know, your writing style has to reflect a certain way, your personality.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know, I think writing should be fun. I think people who read like to feel that they're enjoying it, and that you're enjoying, as a writer, you're enjoying yourself writing. I think anecdotes are important. I think clarity is important. I think down-to-earthness is important. I think, anecdotes are from real-life people, real situations. I think people really enjoy that. And, I think the sidebars, and, I think that's kind of fun to just... You know, distract your mind so you're not just, reading page after page.
Yeah.
The visual, some kind of visual element that's different. I think it's good to, write some ideas that are new, different, startling, something that's jazzy.
Jazzy. That's great.
Yeah.
I'm taking notes because I always like to hear what other writers say. So do you think you have another book in you?
Oh yeah, I can think of 20 books I could write. I mean, there's just I send these life tips. You know, I have an email newsletter I send each week to people, and I have 5 life tips. And
so
if anyone wants to be on it, just send your email. And I want to do a book of my tips, Herb's tips. You know, for instance, I want to do a couples communication workshop. I'm leading a couples communication weekend next weekend. It's endless. I could do a book on the Myers-Briggs, possibly.
Yeah, has there been an Idiot's Guide to the Myers-Briggs?
You know, that I don't know. I don't think so, but I haven't researched it. I don't know.
So do you have another book proposal in the works?
No, I don't. I don't. I I've been, you know, selling this book on my own, so that's kind of taking my time. But I really would like to, you know, I would like to. I think writing the book in some ways is easier than doing the proposal.
Yeah, I think so. So tell the listeners a little bit about promoting. What kinds of things are you doing to promote the book, and what do you think has been the most helpful?
Well, you know, I haven't been doing a lot. I mean, my major thing is I have an email newsletter, so I include each week I have, you know, if you want to buy my book.
Yeah.
So a lot of my clients or people in my workshops have bought my book. And so, for one thing, I carry it with me everywhere I go. I never not have a copy. People like to buy the book for me. I encourage people to buy it from me in some ways rather than a store just because, you know, it's how I partly make a living. So it's kind of fun for me to see how many I can sell. I autograph each book. So mostly I'm doing, you know, doing that. I have gone to book signing parties. That sells the book too. But, you know, obviously you make more money selling it on your own than you do from Amazon or bookstores, et cetera. I haven't done a whole lot. I mean, I've been on I did a TV show that featured my book.
Wow.
Probably do a few more. You know, the TV show I'm going to sell is a DVD of an interview of each of the nine types.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it was more of that than actually the book, but it just happened to be at the same time I'd finished writing the book.
Wow, so you've been busy.
Yeah, I'm busy. I teach lots of workshops on this, and of course I bring my book with me. And, you know, people like to buy a book of someone they know.
Yeah. Well, you did the right thing. You've got a book connected to your platform, and I think publishers like that, and, you know, people like that too.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great. So do you have a final tip that you'd like to leave with our listeners, either on writing or on the Enneagram?
Well, I'd say, you know, I'll do one for each. The Enneagram, and it's really changed my life so intensely, I can't even begin to tell you. I'm as excited today as I was 17 years ago when I discovered my type. I mean, it's just a gold mine of clarity around understanding, valuing, and appreciating personality differences and relating more effectively to differences. As far as writing, you know, it's kind of like a new thrill for me. I didn't even know I was a writer. Now I can say I'm a writer. I think it's really good to put words to your experience. Besides the relearning and recreation of an experience by writing, it adds something very distilling, you know, to write. So it's a very creative art to write in and of itself.
Now that's great. Thank you so much. This has been wonderful.
You're welcome.
This has been another edition of Always Write with Rochelle, the Write Now Coach. You can find a link to Herb Pierce's website and his new book at my website, writenowcoach.com. Thanks for tuning in, and remember to always write.